Good morning and welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church this morning. We're happy to see so many people in church on a Sunday after Easter. It's usually typically known as Low Sunday, and that comes for a good reason. It's the lowest attended service in the traditional church calendar. So thank you for coming out on such a brisk morning. Before I do the announcements, the children have a song that they'd like to sing for us this morning.
God made the sun, God made the sun, God made the sea, God made the sea, God made the fishes, God made the fishes,
and God made me,
and God made me.
Thank you for the sun,
thank you for the sun,
and thank you for the sea,
thank you for the sea.
Thank you for the fishes,
and thank you for me,
and thank you for me.
God made the sun,
God made the sun,
and God made the sea,
and God made the sea.
God made the fishes,
God made the fishes,
and God made
me.
Thank you for the fishes.
Thank you for
me. And thank you for me.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much. Please sign your red pads and turn them in, please, so that we have a record of attendance. The announcements this morning are in the bulletin. I just have one additional one. I'd like to thank Jim Taggy for making sure that our property is safe outside. There's a lot of concrete that's been poured this week, and it's outside this particular door, and hopefully it will keep things from freezing this winter. So thank you so much for that. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The opening hymn is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, page 1. Let us continue with the prayer of confession as found in your bulletin. Dear God, we can be so full of fear at times, afraid of the unknown, afraid of what is beyond our control, afraid of what is strange to us. We know that fear stops us in our tracks, hinders our actions, and gives an excuse for not doing what you call us to do and what you empower us to do. So we pray that you will give us courage, give us strong hearts and open hands, that we might set aside our fear and walk confidently into this world you have made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God knows that we are not a perfect people. We strive to be that, but we are never a perfect people. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Friends, we believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift to us. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Now let us recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us greet one another with God's peace and love.
Thank you. Responsive reading is in the back of your hymnal, number 646, The Church. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit.
He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
In whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord.
In whom we also are being built together for our habitation of God in the Spirit.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
That he might present it to himself for his church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish.
Good morning. Okay, for the pastoral prayers this morning, we have a prayer for Scott Harn's family, Harris family, sorry. This is from the Perman family. Prayers for his family. He passed away on March 30th, and he will be greatly missed. This is from Cheryl D'Amico for her mom, Jeannie Holland. This is that her prayers for her mom so the doctors can regulate her meds and get her heart back in sinus rhythm. And this actually is from me, for one of my coworkers named Alicia. Unfortunately, due to a recent dog attack, her lupus has flared up, and she's been in a lot of pain and has been in and out of the hospital over the past 2 weeks. Let us go to prayer. Dear Lord, we praise you for your endless and unconditional love. We praise you for your faithfulness when so many of us struggle with our own faithfulness. We praise you for your constant love that surrounds us even when we struggle to feel it. We are grateful for your constant provision for our needs, even when we are not yet aware of what our needs are. Lord, we pray for the many hurts that we have, for those that we have just offered up to you, and some only known only by you. For our loved ones who are sick or dealing with chronic illnesses, for those of us who are struggling with emotional wounds or are struggling financially, for those of us who need to express our own personal fears and concerns, let us be near you now. This morning, Lord, we ask that you touch our lives with your strong and powerful healing hand. Help us, Lord, to develop unconditional faith that you will always provide for us, that your forgiveness is infinite and your love is everlasting. Prepare our minds and our spirits, Lord, to immerse ourselves in the worshiping of you this morning. We pray to receive all that you have to give us this morning. May we live our lives in glory of you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Yeah. beautiful day, and we have come here to worship you. We just ask you, Lord, that these monies be taken and used for your glory in our great church that we have. We just pray all these things in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Okay, this is from Corinthians 12, 25 to 31. That there may be no division in body, but that the members that may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed the church, his apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various other tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Okay, now we're going to Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. He gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceit and schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint within which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I want to start by thanking everyone who has helped the worship team put together today's lay service. I thank you all, those behind the scenes, those who have been up here trying to speak. And also, I want to draw to everybody's attention that if you ever doubted Scripture, I think today is a perfect example, because when one member suffers, the entire body suffers. And I'm telling you that we have a lot of suffering going on here today. So extra thank you to those who have participated. I really do appreciate it. This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about church, and I want you to think about why it is that you come to church. Do you come for what you get? Do you come for what you need? Do you come because you think you have something to give? Do you come out of force of habit? Or do you come just in case, better safe than sorry? The answer is simple. We come because the Bible tells us to. But my suspicion is that there's a little bit more to it than that. The Bible does tell us a lot about church. The first thing that the Bible tells us is that it's important that we worship together. In Hebrews, we learn, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another, all the more since you see the day of the Lord is coming. To me, that's a perfect response to the old, I don't need to go to church, I live a good life. God obviously wants us to live good lives, but he also wants us to gain strength and knowledge by coming together and worshiping near him. The Bible Bible also gives us a lot of information about what a church should look like. In Exodus, we learn that the Lord made very, very clear details and direction to Moses about what a church should look like. He instructed Moses to make a collection and ask all men with a willing heart to contribute. The Lord continued to Moses, saying that after the offering is collected, build a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. According to all that I show you, you shall make it. Every able man in whom the Lord has put ability and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all the Lord has commanded. For those of you not familiar with Exodus, and I must admit a week ago I wasn't, this in itself could be a whole sermon. It really is a wonderful story, talks a great deal about what the church should look like, but it also talks about the fact that the building of that tabernacle is a release from persecution and allows people to come in fellowship with God. But we'll save that for Leonard. He can do that sermon. Hint. Later on in the Bible, though, Paul does clarify these same directions that were given to Moses. And he says in his letter to the Corinthians that God has placed Jesus Christ as the foundation, and that the builders must be careful how they build upon that foundation. Some will build with gold, silver, precious stones. Others will build with wood and grass and straw. But the quality of the builder's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. Finally, the psalmist says to us, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So whether it's tents and tabernacles of the Old Testament, a large, beautiful steel, glass, and domed building of today, a tiny little wooden frame building in the valley, or even a fire hall, the building is clearly a part of what church is, and I believe that that is something that influences people where they want to go to church. What does the building look like? What does it look like from the outside? In addition to coming together and finding a place to worship, the Bible also tells us what the worship should look like, what should be going on the inside. And in my opinion, the most important direction we receive is that in church and in worship, we should be celebrating the Lord's Supper. This is not a revelation. Everybody knows the story. After they had dinner, the Lord served the disciples bread and wine. But do we remember that he also said, and you should come together regularly to remember and celebrate my death? Come together regularly. Again, can't do it by yourself. The other thing that I think is important to worship is found in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Like the building itself, we all know music can be a real driver in choosing a church. But Paul makes it very clear that it's an important part of our worship. And in Ephesians, he says, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing hymns and psalms to the Lord with praise in your heart. That's a little bit of history. This is, for me, the most important reason why we come to church. One another. And when Paul spoke, he said, speak to one another with hymns and psalms. Matthew also tells us that whenever two or more are gathered in the name of the Lord is here with us. Sadly, this also becomes the most complicated part of worship because we've added the human dimension. It was all God's word up until now. The Bible gives us a lot of direction on family living. We heard it in the responsive reading, husbands, love your wives. I like that one. There was a time in my life when I really liked fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Always honor your mother and father. And a man should leave his mother and father and unite as one with his wife. Lots of direction on family life. But the Bible also talks to us about the family of God. And to me, more than the building and more than the music, this is what sets one church apart from another church, the family of God. The Old and New Testaments talk about children of God, and throughout the Bible, God refers to us all as brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, children. We're reminded that when we receive God and we believe in Him, we have gained the right to become God's children, not born naturally of human parents, but because God is our Father. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Again, just like our family life at home, the Lord gives us some direction on family life. He gives us the Ten Commandments and expects us to honor those and practice those and practice God's teaching. He expects us to play a role in the success of the church and use the talents that He has given us to better the church. He also asks us to share His word with children and to raise those children, welcoming them into God's kingdom. It sounds pretty simple. It doesn't sound like God asks very much. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I've really fallen short. And it's hard to understand why we would, because God really hasn't asked all that much. In some ways, though, I think that we're closer to our church family than we are to our human families at home. We come to church, we share our deepest thoughts, our fears, our needs, our joys openly with our church family. Maybe you're facing something that's a little bit frightening and you want to wait a little while and see how it works out before you worry your family about it. But you bring it to church and you share it with your church family. Or maybe you're concerned about one of your family members who has just brushed you aside and said, everything's going to be okay, you don't have anything to worry about. But you bring that to your church family too. And you know what? The church family works it out. They pray with you, they hug you, they laugh, they cry, they support you. All you need to do is ask. There seems to be sort of a safe zone in God's house that we may not have in our own homes. And it's nice that we have that safe zone where we can come and know that we're going to be comforted and welcomed and praised. But the part that I get confused about is the fact that despite all that openness and willingness to share and willingness to comfort, we also turn so quickly on our brothers and sisters in Christ, casting judgment, failing to see another one's point of view, where in similar situations at home, we might conform, we might look the other way, or at the very least be a little bit more tolerant. I would be willing to bet that not one of you has ever heard anyone in any church ever say, you know what, it really doesn't matter to me. You pick and whatever you decide will be fine. But how many of you have said or heard it at home? It doesn't happen here. I wonder why that is. We're so welcoming, we're so opening, and we're so challenging all at the same time. I think part of it is because we really do care. We believe that our own suggestions, ideas, our own thoughts are the right ones. We believe that we know best because we have a vested interest and we really care. Sometimes people choose not to get involved because they don't like what they see from the outside and they think, oh, there's enough people doing things, they don't really need me. Other times people don't stay involved because they had their feelings hurt or because things didn't go the way they should or the way they thought they should. And so they just quietly withdraw. They step back. But Peter says to us that each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in all of its various forms. I'm not going into a long list of all the things you can do here. But I am going to share some observations that I have about Glenshaw Valley and the Glenshaw Valley family. We have some jobs here that are being done beautifully, consistently, and well. Because we have people with time and talent who have stepped up and who have willingly done the job. So thank you. We have some other jobs that are being done pretty well because, again, we have some talented people who have been willing to step up and do what has been needed to keep things going. But but they don't step up till we're already in crisis mode. So we don't have consistency. We also have some jobs that are being done on a just okay basis, because we have people with talent who have given seemingly unending hours, but they haven't had any training or direction, and they're not really sure what it is that they're doing, so they're spinning their wheels. And finally, we have jobs that not only have not been acknowledged, but are certainly not being accomplished, because we've just plain run out of people. We don't have anybody left to step up. And it's frightening, because it's so easy. There's so much to do, and there's something for everybody, whether it's a job behind the scenes, whether it's supporting somebody who's up front, whether it's sending a card quietly to someone who's shut in or celebrating a birthday. So many things that we can all do. And I encourage you to not be afraid to step up and to try to participate. Paul said in his letter to the Colossians, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." If you choose not to step up and do something visible, as I said, you can do something that is equally important, and the Lord will know what you've done just by being supportive. And again, our friend Paul reminds us to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So, now I assume you're all looking for something to do. And my advice to you is the first thing that you should do is sing in the choir, read a scripture, offer a children's sermon, participate in a lay service, because you will get to see that beautiful window that is behind all of you. And that in itself is a wonderful reward from serving from this angle. Not something I've done often, but every time I do it, I'm reminded of the beauty. So it's a great place to start. God has blessed us with a beautiful building. He has blessed us with a great place to worship. But for me, it's still the family that makes me come back every Sunday. As we move forward, I hope that you will think about why you come to church, and I hope that you will come to the realization that your reason is our family. The Bible tells us to worship together, tells us how to build a church, and it also reminds us that we are the keepers of that church, preserving and growing it until God comes again. What part of the family are you? Are you a child who needs to be nurtured? Are you a teen who is testing the waters and trying to find your way? Are you a parent teaching and leading those who have less experience? Or are you the wise old uncle who sits in the corner, has seen it all, still enjoys life, sometimes voices an opinion, but usually keeps all his thoughts to himself? There's a place for all of us. And I leave you with more words from Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians. The one who plants and the one who waters really do not matter. It is God who matters, for he makes the plant grow. There is no difference between the man who plants and the man who waters. God will reward each according to the work he has done. For we are partners working together for God, and you are God's field. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us this beautiful church in which to gather and worship in your name. Be with your Glenshaw Valley family. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. Lead us as we work to grow and serve according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And before we move into our last hymn, Leonard is here and would like to say a few words, so give him a minute as he comes all the way from the back under that beautiful window to see it up here.
First of all, I just want to thank everyone for being here today on Lay Sunday and everyone that has participated in it, and all just a wonderful sermon about the church and what we need to be doing. In October of 1990, I came here to be your pastor. And so that'll be almost 26 years. Before that, I had pastored in on the beach in North Carolina, and before that, while I was in graduate school, I pastored a church in Illinois. So a total of three churches in over 32 years. And in September, I will be 65, and there's a lot of things going on in my life with my health. It just seems like it's getting worse and worse. And my father's health in South Carolina, and my sister calling me all the time with the struggle she's having with him. So I've made the decision and shared this with Session a few months back that I am going to retire this year. I don't think it comes as a real shock to anyone. But as I make this announcement, it's exciting in a way, but it's also very sad because, as Arlie said, the family, and you really have become my family, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate every kindness you've given to me, every word of encouragement, every love, every bit of support, and I think with me retiring, at least I'm hoping, that as you go through the process and you go probably with an interim pastor for a while and then look for a full-time pastor, that you'll find not the perfect pastor, because we know there is no such thing, but that you can find the perfect pastor for Glenshaw Valley, and maybe the church can start moving up in membership and in different things. Sometimes just a change of leadership causes things to go in a new direction, things I haven't thought of. A new pastor can come in and hopefully get done. So I wish the best for Glenshaw Valley. I hope it grows. The greatest thing for me would not be for me to leave and then people not come and a church go down. The greatest thing for me personally would be for the church to come together, find the right person, and start moving up in membership. And I truly mean that. Now, we have to have a congregational meeting at the end of the month. I think is it April 24th? Uh-huh. And so the congregation, we have to go through a little program. You have to vote for me to leave, and then it will go to Presbytery in May. I'm trying to make sure it's on the docket because I'm not a member of a church. I am a member of Pittsburgh Presbytery, always have been, and that's just the way that it works. So as we start going through this, he'll be more informed of the session. We'll start looking at the right time for the interim pastor, but to look for a full-time pastor, I have to be gone. And so maybe I'm telling a little bit early, but I wanted, since I've been here so long, I thought it'd be best to tell you early, kind of get it out the way, and so it won't feel like such a big deal when I do leave. So not sure of my last day here. It'll either be the end of August or it'll be September the 19th. We're trying to work that out. I have those two options, which I'm grateful for, and that can be done through Session. So thank you for the privilege of being pastor here for so long. I love you. I've enjoyed it. Yeah, there's been days I haven't enjoyed it. There's sometimes different conflicts, and I'm not a person who really enjoys that. But once I get through that and I start looking back at why I'm a minister and why we come to church, as Arlie talked about, and so I am just truly, truly grateful, and I thank you for everything that you do to make Glenshaw Valley such a wonderful, wonderful place to worship. May God bless you.
I'm not even going to acknowledge that because there's so many different ways we can go, and I'm sure everybody has a mixture of thoughts, so we'll let it all sink in, and we will move to our final hymn, which is hymn number 282. It will also be on the screen. What's in the hymnal is only the chorus, and there's a couple verses, so that's why it's listed both places. Family of God.
Remember always that we are a part of the family of God. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.